Did we ever figure out how the rest of this goes? Is that because when we started, when we left the last show, we had just the teaser.
And that is the teaser. That was like the whole 13-second tease.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we had.
And then we get the rest of it, like.
Mind Your Manners does not disappoint.
No, not at all. And, you know, if I wanted to study the lyrics, sometimes I kind of do. Sometimes I want to read them, but then also I kind of just want to learn them as, like,
yeah.
Naturally.
Yep.
Pretty sure Eddie's talking about religion.
Yeah, because I pick up a few words. Like, I thought I found God, and there's a few things here and there. But I haven't dove into the lyrics. Divin. We'll go with divin.
Well,
we'll into it. We'll make up words. But yeah, I'm very much the same way. I want it to just become, I want to naturally absorb the lyrics, but I also want to know every word.
But then at the same time, if you naturally absorb the lyrics, you end up getting the lyrics wrong.
Yeah,
especially
still,
with Ed, like, you can't really tell exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
But I think, like, there's a chorus, kind of, not a chorus, but a refrain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's, go to heaven, got expelled. How do you like living in hell?
Plus, there's this.
Just note, Ed just said metaphysically redeemed.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not liking that. I could care less about metaphysicality. Maybe that'll be like the name of the next album, Metaphysicality.
I'm glad you brought up the lyrics, because we've also been introduced to a couple other new tracks that are going to be on Lightning Bolt. They were performed at the big Wrigley show. And by the way, hello.
Oh yeah,
Evil
hi
Logos,
everybody.
Episode
6. See, the thing is...
is it? I think it's 7.
No, it's 6. Because
oh, you're right, because
we decided to
time.
Record... We're doing them one at a time now instead of two at a time. So last time we recorded, we would have recorded episode 5 and 6, but
right.
We combined it and made it episode 5.
So that's going to be so much easier to count.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we
one
did
at
that.
A time instead of it. Yeah. None of this counting by twos.
Past the counting.
Yes.
That's what we're all about. So I'm Jeremy, and that's Travis. Travis is, of course, the brains and the entire workforce behind Gorilla Candy.
Not the entire workforce, but
most
of it.
I thought you were a one-man band.
I work with a lot of people that, like, I have a lot of contributors that, not a lot. I have contributors.
I have more than one. Okay.
I have some photographers I work with, but when it comes to writing of the words and the pinning of the thought,
you're the word man.
That's me, I do all the technical work, which really means I just post stuff to WordPress. It's really easy.
Fancy.
Yeah, it's fancy.
And I'm Jeremy. I do another podcast. It's called The Sibling Rivalry. It has nothing to do with any of this. But that's
have you
kind
brought
of,
up this at all on the Sibling Rivalry? I haven't listened the last few weeks.
This podcast?
Yeah.
I don't think that I have, because I think I get through my weekend and I think, oh, it'd be fun to talk about all this Pearl Jam stuff. And then we do it here. And then by the time I get to the next show, because we record that on Wednesday, we do this on Mondays, and I've purged all of the Pearl Jam from my system, and I haven't gotten around. So I'll plug it this week.
Well, no, I'm just curious what Aaron thinks about.
Oh, I'm sure he'll bust my balls.
Okay.
He'll totally bust my
balls.
Aaron
being your older brother.
Yeah, and we do the show together. And he actually, another quick promo thing, he's coming out to Seattle for our big podcast listener party. It's a Seattle-based podcast thing. It's going to be at Naked City Brewery on August 3rd, and come out and say hello. You're coming, right? I know you're a maybe, but you're coming.
I'm going to try real hard.
Come on. You got to.
I'm going to try real hard.
You got to meet the people. You got to meet the people. So we're going to talk in just a few minutes with Pearl Jam fan Amber. She, like us, just a fan as far as we know, right?
Yeah, I think she's a 10 Club member.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And full disclosure, I am a typical member. Jeremy is not.
Well, la-dee-da.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's a big. I'm kind of a big deal.
You're kind of a big deal.
No, I'm not a big deal at all. But just thought if you wanted to know, just put it out there for listeners. Now, We wanted to talk with somebody who is from who went to Wrigley, experienced the epicness that was seeing Pearl Jam at Wrigley Field in Chicago, Illinois. The kind of week-long extravaganza, almost like they put merch on sale on like Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
Four different street corner locations. They had a pre-party. You could watch soundcheck from the roof at the pre-party.
That's amazing.
Like, how crazy is that?
And didn't they have like a fundraiser event as well?
They
like,
had a couple different fundraisers. I think I know that the wish list. Folks did a fundraiser. The Pearl Jam 10 Club pre-party was also a fundraiser for something. I don't know what. But yeah, Amber was there, and we're going to talk with her shortly about her experience and what it was like there. The two-hour rain delay. What did she do for 2 hours waiting for Pearl Jam?
And why did they need a rain delay? I mean, have we never had a concert outside before?
Well, here's the thing. Like, there were three concerts happening in the Chicago area that were outdoors. Pitchfork Festival, Bjork's headlining set, got canceled three quarters of the way in. Fish was performing outdoors and got canceled in the middle of the set.
But it's rain.
It's severe weather, heat and lightning.
There's a
great photo of that I believe Pearl Jam has up on their website. Of like from the stands, you could see the field and the stage, and then you see a giant lightning bolt in the background.
Nice.
And that lightning bolt struck about 5 miles south of the stadium, but it was like that right after that lightning bolt is kind of when they said, okay, hey, you got to cancel the show, or at least postpone it.
So. Yeah, the fact that a giant lightning bolt hit within camera shot of Wrigley Field when Pearl Jam was playing to promote their new album, Lightning Bolt, I'm saying shopped.
Yeah. Oh, you Pearl Jam trickery.
They staged it.
Yes.
So that's that deal. So we'll call Amber. And should we call her now or should we listen to a little bit more new music?
Well, we told her seven. We told her at the half hour mark.
That is where we are.
We should be punctual. I think she's nice enough to call, nice enough to talk with us. So we should.
Let's give her a ringy ding ding. I'll let you do the howdies.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
But you guys are old friends. Probably hungover.
Hello.
Hey, is this Amber?
Yes, this is.
Hey, Amber. This is Travis with Evil Little Goats Podcast. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Yep, no problem.
I'm here with my buddy Jeremy, co-host. We do this little Pearl Jam shindig every once in a while. So,
hey, Amber.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Hey, we're recording this, so I hope you don't mind if we make you famous on the internet.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm so ready.
Okay.
I was hoping it was going to be one of my cats. But if it's me, that's fine.
you went to the big Wrigley show. How hungover are you still?
Well, you know, it's mostly just the voice that's still recovering. But we were actually not really even drinking past. They cut off all of the liquor sales at, I think, 11:30 or 11:45. So nobody was drinking for two solid hours.
Wow. So take us through that night, and should we start with how you even got tickets?
Well, how'd you get tickets? Did you go through 10 Club, or did you buy them off the street?
I went through the 10 Club. I went through the whole lottery system, and you know, waited not so patiently for those 6 or 7 hours it took to notify us if we got the show or not. And I didn't get the GA, but I did get the field.
Now, are you a native Midwesterner? Are you located in that area?
Yes, I am currently in Chicago proper.
Okay, so not too far. It's almost it's kind of almost in your backyard then.
It's just a train ride down.
So we were talking a little bit about what essentially from the outside seemed to be Pearl Jam week in Chicago. Was it just all Pearl Jam all the time everywhere you went?
Oh yeah, it was insane. On all of the radio stations, no matter which one you turned to on your commute, they were talking about it.
Even on the smooth jazz station?
I assumed that they probably were. If it was NPR, they were probably announcing it.
Sure.
but yeah, they had ads all in the bus stations and the terminals for the concert, and it really was. It was very cool. It was very cool to be here during it.
Now, this wasn't your first Pearl Jam show. You've seen the band several times, right?
Yeah, I would say I have seen them probably more than two dozen times, less than three dozen times, but I don't keep track.
Wow. So, comparatively, how, like on a like 1 to 10 scale, how was the band as far as how they sounded and how they seemed on stage? Were they in their groove? Did they seem like they were, you know, kind of rusty? How did they come off at Wrigley Field?
No, they just came out and freaking owned the entire stadium from the get-go. It was really kind of amazing. It was that normal kind of electric, like the electricity sort of feel that you get when they start, but just, I mean, where we were, because we were in the 18th row on Stone's side, so we could kind of turn around and just see all of the people staring at us because we were on the field, and just kind of just the energy bouncing off between the band and the fans was unreal. And they just came out like guns blazing.
The energy you speak of, there was also some energy in the sky. There was a bit of a lightning storm that I guess put things on pause for a while.
Yeah, we waited very patiently for a little over 2 hours. I couldn't tell you the exact time that everything happened, but the way that Eddie came out and said it was, the storm was going to hit in a half an hour, and it was going to take a full half hour to evacuate the people on the field. So he was going to have us all evacuate for the first half hour, then the storm would hit for that half hour, and then we would slowly trickle back. So it lasted a little bit more than an hour.
So what did you do for that hour?
Well, for a while we just sort of like stood around because we weren't in GA, so we weren't quite sure if they wanted to evacuate the entire field or not. And as soon as it became apparent that they wanted us all to get going, my friend and I were kind of like funneled along the herd of people, and we kind of zigged instead of zagged, and we wound up in the VIP section behind the stage.
Well, la-di-da.
I know. It was very fancy, and we weren't even drinking at that point. So we were all just kind of standing around debating whether or not we should put our ponchos on and, you know, kind of looking around. And we saw Dennis Rodman basically standing right next to us with the cigar hanging out of his mouth. And it was very awesome to see how the other half lives, like on the other side of the stage.
Was Kim Jong-un anywhere near Dennis Rodman?
I didn't see, but I'm kind of tall, so I may not have noticed if he was.
I'm sure he's a very big Pearl Jam fan.
Yeah.
So what was your, give us a couple of highlights from the show for you. What were some of your favorite moments? Did any song stand out, or was it all one big happy highlight for you?
I would say Present Tense was really fantastic. I kind of was a little bummed that they started out so slow. I think the second song was Nothing Man, and to me, I kind of wish that they wouldn't go from release into Nothing Man, like maybe kind of come out with a little bit more punch, but you know, they did that with Present Tense, and it was great, and it really got kicked into high gear when they came back from the rain delay.
Was anything obviously missing from the set list? Did you walk out of there going, why didn't they play?
You know, I, as a super fan, I don't think that I walked away wishing for songs that, you know, like a casual fan would want. Like, there were girls around us, so for half of the rain delay, we moved up into the seats. So we were sitting with other people just getting rained on for a while. And the girls around us, they really, really wanted to hear Daughter. And that didn't get played for them.
But, yeah, that's a rare one. You don't hear that much.
Right, but it's just, you know, stuff like that. Like, I don't really want to hear it, I can see how other people would love to hear it.
So you're not upset that Alive or Jeremy didn't make the set list?
I was a little bummed that Alive didn't make it. I don't really understand why on, you know, they had they had a specific time that they had to cut it off. So I don't understand why some songs like Eruption and Bugs made the cut.
Yeah, what did you think about Bugs? I haven't talked with Jeremy about this, but I know that's only the third time they've played it, but it seems like it's becoming a novelty. Like, oh, let's break out Bugs. Everybody will like it.
You know, it was, to me, it was kind of weird, but it was also kind of cool because I feel like Eddie kind of owns it a little bit more and he can perform it a little bit. Oh, I don't know.
See, that's interesting to me because I sense a lot of frustration in the album version, and I think a younger, angrier Eddie, I think, probably carried it. I have a hard time seeing the same frustration pouring out of the modern Eddie. I don't know. I didn't see it, so I couldn't say.
No, I agree with you. And taking that into them covering Mother, I don't think that they could have played that as effectively if they were starting out from the beginning again. Like from, you know, the early 90s. I just don't, you know, they sound a little bit more weathered. They sound, you know, they've grown up together.
Yeah.
So it's like, and we've been through a war with them. So it's like, so, I mean, it just has a really, to me, it just, that Mother was probably the biggest highlight for me.
And on the cover note, you mentioned Eruption, and I'm a huge Mike McCready fan. You got to tell me, how great was it?
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was amazing to see, and he did it fantastically, but it was, again, it was like, man, why?
Yeah, they definitely, you know, it seems like they could have slipped in a lot more. And did you see that there was the set list before the non-abbreviated set list?
Yeah, that was a real bummer because that, the finale or whatever, the second encore, that was amazing. And I kind of wish that they would have done, you know, Baba O'Reilly or Yellow Ledbetter to close out the night. I think Yellow Ledbetter would have been a really great ending.
Yeah, that's interesting that they didn't close out with Yellow Ledbetter at Ontario either. I wonder if they're slowing down the use of that. What did you think of the two? I know they played Mind Your Manners. What did you think of Lightning Bolt and Future Days? And The Moment? You were in a crowd of some of the first people to ever hear that song or those songs. What did you think of the newer stuff?
Well, Lightning Bolt did not connect with me, so I don't know if I just need to hear it a few more times because I really, really like Mind Your Manners. And as for the third song, I don't even remember what the name of it was, but when Brendan O'Brien came out to play it, is that the...
Yeah, Future Days. Yeah, that's the one.
Future Days. That one I really enjoyed. But I think that Lightning Bolt's going to be a little bit of a grower for me.
This is something that we've talked about a lot on the show is the kind of hit and miss. It's hard sometimes to be a Pearl Jam fan because there are songs where you're just like, that just doesn't connect in the way that that so many others do so deeply. Are you like that with a lot of their stuff, or can you pick out entire albums or half of albums where you're like, I don't even bother with those?
Yeah, there's definitely portions of albums that I just completely skip. I think the album that I never really caught onto or latched onto was probably Riot Act.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that one totally for me is take it or leave it. But all the other ones, I could easily for each album pick out three of my favorite songs.
Yeah,
you know, and it just rotates then.
So are you planning on catching any of the rest of the tour? I know that Chicago is kind of their Midwest stop for the fall tour, but are you the type of fan that travels here in Seattle? I mentioned this on the last episode we recorded. You know, I ended up getting people ask me if I was going to Wrigley, and I was like, no, I can't travel. And you know, obsessive fans look at me like I'm crazy, like I'm not a real fan because I don't travel to follow the band. But I'm curious, are you one of the fans that travels, or are you just content with this and you're going to wait for next year to hope that there's another tour where they come back to do, you know, maybe they play Alpine Valley again, or maybe they make Wrigley an annual thing?
Man, I would love it if they made Wrigley an annual thing, but I would probably also really start to worry about whether I could get tickets or not. So it's like, I kind of like it as a novelty. If it happened every year, like they pulled up a residency, I would rather see them skip around a few different venues in the Midwest to go to. But as for if I travel to see them, I definitely do, not cross country, but, you know, being in the Midwest, I've been able to see them in Wisconsin and Indiana and Ohio and Missouri. You know, there's like kind of that little radius that I get being in Chicago. But this tour is actually the first tour that I'm going to see them on the West Coast.
Oh, which show?
So, Portland.
Hey, fantastic. I'll be there. I'm really looking forward to that night.
I'm super excited. It's my first show on the West Coast.
And, yeah, this is the first time I'm traveling to follow the band. And, of course, Seattle to Portland isn't that big of a travel. But we don't have, we're not like.
Yeah, you can bike there. Come
yeah,
on.
That's... We're not like the East Coast or the Midwest where we have cities all around us and major hubs.
Right.
We're kind of Seattle, Portland, and then you get Sacramento. So,
there were a lot of people that were sitting around me at Wrigley that were from Seattle, and most of them were skipping the Portland show and then were going to the Spokane show.
Yeah, the Spokane show is the next day after Portland, and I almost went to from Portland to Spokane, but
It's
like a 7-hour drive, 400 miles ish,
and that's after the 3-hour drive from Seattle to
Portland.
And
it's across some mountain passes where there's potential snow in the winter. So I decided to pass on that. But I do know a lot of people that are skipping Portland, which I don't understand why. I'd rather go to Portland than Spokane because honestly, Portland's a city. Spokane's kind of like eh.
And there's way better beer.
Yeah, it's not a fun destination. That was, you know, we were talking about what shows we might go for, and I was thinking, oh, you know, maybe I'll throw my hat into like Pittsburgh and Buffalo, I think, were two shows that were right next to each other. And then I thought, I don't want to go to either one of those cities. You know, even for Pearl Jam, I just don't know if I could handle the 8-hour drive, and I must not be like an Uber super fan. But
no, you're just a rational human being. That's
the
problem.
I don't think a lot
maybe
of
maybe that's it.
Yeah. Back to the Wrigley show that didn't wrap up until I believe 2:15.
About then. Yeah.
How brutal was that? Were you just dragging yourself out of there?
Oh yeah, we were totally dragging ass because I don't know if you've read any of the reports, but I had so many friends. So basically, 2:00 in the morning in Wrigleyville is when the bars shut down and they dump everybody out. So in addition to the bars getting out, everybody is trying to evacuate the stadium. And, you know, we'd already gone through an evacuation, so it was really brutal to just, like, kind of go back into the collective group of people and try to get out. And people weren't getting trains because certain train lines stopped running at night, and nobody could get cabs because there were hundreds of cab like requests, and it was a nightmare. We had a car, and we only live, man, I think like 5 miles away. We didn't get home until 3:30.
Wow.
So we're not that old.
Did you have to work? Did you have to work the next day?
Because it was Friday.
Oh, okay.
So
good.
We had Saturday off.
Nice.
Weimer, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for chatting with us about Wrigley. It makes me feel good that we can share this with listeners, and I'm sure everyone who wasn't there will appreciate hearing a firsthand account. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it was one of my favorite shows. The first show that I saw with them was in 1995 at Soldier Field, and this one was just on par with that one. It was amazing.
Well, speaking as a Seattleite in the band's hometown, wishing that they were playing at Safeco Field, I'm very jealous that you got to see them at Wrigley. We're gonna have to see them in Key Arena again. But
why aren't they playing Safeco? Didn't Paul McCartney just play there?
He just did. I think he just broke the glass ceiling. So
he was the very first concert at Safeco Field. So
really, I mean, they have the retractable roof, right?
They do.
So can they have concerts in the winter?
In theory, they could.
We're going to start a petition.
Yeah.
You should really try to utilize this space.
That's what I'm saying.
if you can start bringing, no, my husband is from Seattle, so he is all aboard with seeing Pearl Jam at Safeco.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. Amber, thanks so much, and I'm very happy for you that you had that experience. It's hopefully not a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but if it was, a very cool thing to take with you.
Yes, definitely. All right, thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye. Well, that was Amber, everybody.
Yeah. So I've got a Pearl Jam joke.
I've got to hear it. I've got
okay.
to hear it. I don't have my rim shot ready, though.
It's not really a joke. It's more of an aside.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but how awesome would it have been if when everybody had to leave the field, they started to play Evacuation.
Oh, nice.
Come on.
Yeah, right?
And it wasn't even in the set list. Eddie, that's a softball. That's a super softball. You either play it right the first song, right after everybody gets back, or while everybody's leaving.
You guys were talking about Eruption, and this claims to be a video of that from Wrigley Field. Hopefully it's not terribly crappy.
Would you like to hand the stage over to Mike McCready? He's going to do whatever he wants.
There's that.
Two words. Ear boners.
There's our show title. Now, that's not the only music that was, I guess, unveiled there. We got a couple new songs out of
New songs, yeah. And it's interesting that Amber had the opposite response that I had, a reaction I had. I mostly like Lightning Bolt. And I thought it would be like the one kind of mid-tempo-ish song on the record. And then I heard Future Days, and I was like, oh, that's kind of boring. And like one of my Twitter commenters, because I posted them on Gorilla Candy, that mentioned that, you know, Future Days might have well just been called Eddie and the Boys, you know, because it's just kind of... It's an Eddie song.
We got to sample this a little bit. So do you want to start with Lightning Bolt?
Let's start with Lightning Bolt. Yeah, let's start with
Lightning Bolt. There we go. So there's a little taste of Lightning Bolt.
Can you go to kind of the end where MacReady picks it up?
I can try and find that. I think that's right about. Let's go here.
Using those eruption fingers.
Between ear boners and eruption fingers, you're starting to sound like my other podcast. the thing that I love about not only that solo, but just whenever you can watch Mike MacReady do that, the dude doesn't play the guitar, he feels it.
Yeah. It's very, like, I mean, I've seen Mike do eruption, you know, very, very literally up close and personal, you know, probably 7 or 8 times at different benefit shows and such. And, like, it's always, you just watch, it's just like, my God, the guy just.
He feels it.
He embodies the guitar when he plays it. It's fantastic. The thing about the song Lightning Bolt. You expect, there are several moments when I expected it to pick up, and it never does. It gets to, like, it starts like a low rumble, and then it growls like just a little, but it never screams or yells. It never, not even when Mike gets to the, like, the last minute of the song, which is the best part of the song, which is unfortunate. I mean, a lot of songs, guitar solo is the best part, but it just seems like there's a good melody, you know, there's good foundation, but, like, I really just
it flatlines want, for it, you.
Yeah, it does, and that's the problem with it. Has, like, Mind Your Manners, Mike's solo is too short.
Yeah.
Mind Your Manners is like a 12 or 15 or 20 second, like, stretch. Lightning Bolt, it's too long and it's in the wrong place.
Yeah, and that, so that's literally my second exposure to that song. I listened to it once earlier today and I've now listened to it, you know, a half a time there. And my initial reaction was similar to Amber's, where the song we're going to hear in a minute, Future Days, does nothing for me. But this one, I was like, okay, yeah, I can dig that. And even now, hearing it, I'm thinking, I can imagine myself driving down the road with the windows down, that song, singing along, but more from a feel. And again, I'm learning as a Pearl Jam fan that it is one of those things that I have to hear it more and more and know the lyrics a little bit more and almost connect with it externally. Like, there has to be some other kind of life event. It's a good day at the beach or, like, the perfect open road drive or whatever, where you hear that song and it like, aha, that's well, this moment.
It
for
does
me.
Have a very positive feeling for me hearing it. It's not necessarily a cheerful song, but it feels like I haven't studied the lyrics. I don't know what's going on, but it sounds like a very positive
sunny day, good time drive.
Yeah, almost like it wants to be a big anthem type song, but it never opens up. It never quite, like, the throttle doesn't get pushed.
Yeah,
you know,
it's no rearview mirror.
No. Or present tense.
Right.
Which is, we could do a whole episode on present tense, man. That's such a great song. That's like that, we'll talk about that in a minute, but yeah. Do we want to
sample Future Days?
Let's do super. I've only listened to Future Days once.
Okay.
And so let's try it again. I'll open ears.
All right, here we go.
Clean slate.
If I ever were to lose you, I'd surely lose myself.
Everything I have found dear, I'm not bound by myself. Try and sometimes you succeed to make this man or me. Oh, my stolen missing parts, I've no need for it anymore. I believe, and I believe, 'cause I can't see our future day.
Become your typical slow Pearl Jam love songy kind of.
Where's the rest of the band?
Hello? Hello?
Matt, are you there?
Anyone?
Come on,
anyone?
Matt. Give me some Matt. Get the Skins. It's like Man of the Hour, but for wussies.
I'm so glad you're the one that gets to be the critic this time. Yeah, this is this song reminds me of is it Let's Just Breathe? Is that what that one?
Just Breathe. Yeah.
Just Breathe. There we go. That song didn't do anything for me either until I had an experience with it where I was like, oh, now I get it, and it meant more to me.
That's the same thing. Like I was gonna say, you can't knock Just Breathe. It's a beautiful song.
It is, but I didn't have a connection with it until there was a life experience, and I just went, oh, okay, yeah, that fits now in my deep connection with this band, and it makes sense.
It's because it was on a very special episode of Castle, wasn't it?
It was, it was Castle. Yeah. But
I don't think it was Just Breathe. I think it was a different song, but there was. Amongst
oh,
the,
was there?
There was a song on Castle.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, they keep showing up in TV shows. But this one, I think, is going to be the same way, where I'm going to learn the lyrics when I buy the album, because I'll play it to death, and then I'll have some experience, and it will connect with me at some point.
I really think that the whole song. I honestly had it on the background music when I heard it for the first time, so mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily study it. I think that whole song might just be Eddie and Boom. In this instance, Eddie and Brendan.
Well, Stone is playing off to the side.
Okay.
I don't know what he's playing because you can't really hear it, but...
it's not a bass.
No, certainly not a bass. But yeah, I just... I'm kind of over that from them. I feel like we've been there.
I'm really looking forward to getting, hopefully, some kind of advanced stream of Mind Your Manners, maybe the week before it releases or something.
Yeah.
If I ask nicely, maybe they'll send me one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I could play it for podcast purposes. Maybe I could, but I'm really looking forward to hearing everything in context. Mm-hmm. I really, and I'm kind of pissed that it's July and they're like, oh, yeah, releasing a record in October. So right. We got to wait a whole another 3 months for it to come out. Like, I could see announcing in like August, maybe.
See, I think you and I talked about this on the way home last week a little bit about the promotion of something like that. I mean, because even in Chicago for Wrigley, they didn't have to wallpaper the city. They said, we're going to play Wrigley, and the tickets were gone. They don't need to promote.
Right.
So why dangle this carrot in the middle of summer and make us wait till October?
They're going to have to tease it out. I mean, look, Mind Your Manners is a song that was made for rock radio. It's getting rock radio play. I assume it's showing up on rock radio charts. I know I've heard it on local rock stations here, and it's really refreshing to hear new Pearl Jam, mm-hmm. aside from, you know, let's play Last Kiss or some bull crap like that.
Yeah.
So Mind Your Manners is definitely the song that they want out there for public consumption. I assume that when it gets closer to the record release, they're going to release a second album, or they're either going to do a video, which is highly unlikely,
yeah.
or they're going to release a second single maybe in September. So they let Mind Your Manners simmer for a while,
yeah,
and then they because there's not another countdown.
But is that necessary? Like, is there?
Well, you have to have more than one reason to buy. You have to. I mean, granted, you're going to buy the record because it's Pearl Jam, but the casual fan, radio is fickle. So Mind Your Manners, what was the first single off of Backspacer? Oh, man. Why can't I think of this?
The Fixer.
The Fixer.
Yeah.
That got radio play, and then it just disappeared. Do you hear the Fixer on the radio ever? No.
No, you should, though. So, it's a great song.
Yeah. So here's what's going to happen with Mind Your Manners. They definitely, hopefully it has legs, and it lasts longer and becomes a canonical. Is that a canonical?
If I'm going to make up words, you might as well make up words.
It becomes part of the Pearl Jam radio canon
right.
for DJs across the world, and hopefully it gets played longer than just like the short shelf life of the Fixer. So they're going to have to release something else to give people another reason to buy the record. Oh, that Mind Your Manners song, that's great. I forgot all about it in October. So, there's a new song out. I know the new song.
Maybe this is just me being old or being cheap or something, but I don't even remember the last album that I bought. I don't buy albums anymore. I stream everything. You get with Spotify, Pandora, and everything. I haven't bought a CD probably since their last one. So I guess I don't know what it's like to be a CD or a digital download album consumer, where I would need to be teased for months and go, I can't wait to buy that.
Yeah, and I think it's they're not necessarily target. I mean, obviously they want people to buy CDs to buy the record, but they're targeting like the.
The kids.
Joe Public. They're not targeting, they're not targeting record buyers, because like people go to record stores to buy vinyl or buy CDs, or people who are on iTunes. Mm-hmm. They're targeting like the 40-year-old soccer mom who listens to alt rock because it's nostalgia, or the kid whose older brother liked Pearl Jam. Or the kid whose dad listens to Pearl Jam, like they hear Pearl Jam on a classic rock radio station, and they're like, oh, they have a new. It's like Springsteen. It's like Springsteen doesn't target like CD buyers. He just releases something, and he has to give people reason to buy it.
See, I guess that's the thing that just blows me away. Because as a podcaster, like we make something and we put it out. Like there it is. Like so, it's weird for me to think. Like, unless we were going to do, if we were going to interview Eddie and we knew, hey, in October, he's going to come in here and he's going to talk to us about the album, I guess it'd be the same thing. We would spend the next 5 months saying, Eddie Vedder's going to be here. You're going to want to listen in October, because that would be a huge deal. Maybe it's the same thing, but it's just hard for me to wrap my head around it, because I don't buy music. It's all available whenever I want it.
And there'll be a massive blitz when it's available, too. I mean, there'll be a massive... They haven't announced what they're going to do with this record. They might have a Target and 10 Club thing again. They might go, heaven forbid, Walmart. Or they might make it available, because there are no major record stores, really.
If they go Walmart, I'm out.
Maybe they'll go Best Buy. But then again, Best Buy has totally cut all of their... the amount of CDs they sell.
Yeah.
And they've really diminished that. So who knows how they're going to actually distribute it. So I think they're teamed up with, I don't remember the label, Reprise Records, maybe?
Just for distribution.
Just for distribution?
Yeah.
I know that they have a major that they're doing distribution through.
Yeah. So you've got your tickets.
I do.
You're going to?
I'm going to Portland and Vancouver, and I'm going to buy a ticket on Saturday to Seattle.
Okay.
I entered the lottery drawing. I wanted to get... Vancouver was my first choice, Vancouver Reserved, and then my second choice was Portland Reserved, third choice was Portland GA, and then it went Seattle Reserved, Seattle GA, and I got pairs of tickets. I won my first two picks, so very, very exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing Pearl Jam out of the country. I already have a hotel booked.
Out of the country.
Come on, it is out of the country. It is like going from San Diego to Tijuana, but it's our version of that. It's Seattle to Vancouver.
I wonder what they'll sound like in kilometers.
How many kilometers did this volume dial go up to? Yeah. It is out of the country. I'm not one of those hotshot fans that has all the money they can fly to Chicago or make it across the world to go see them in South America for Lollapalooza or whatever. But I'm really, really excited. I forgot to write down the number of days it is until Pearl Jam plays Seattle. We did that last time. Oh, I'll do it again.
That's right. Isn't it on your app? I thought it had a...
No. I'd have to count the days, and I'm not...
That's a lot of math.
That's too much
counting.
Again,
with the math. If we can't count two shows at a time, we have to scale it back to one. counting that many days.
Yes, for sure.
That's not going to work.
Yeah. What about you? You didn't. You're going to bank on trying to get into Seattle.
Yeah. Right? I know. I make it a habit not to pay for things.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna. I'm just gonna pull strings and see what I can pull.
I did. You know, attempt to pull strings, but I thought, you know, it's always safe to buy in case I can't get in. So I just decided, you know what? If because I didn't want to screw a fan out of tickets. Honestly, that was my reason. I didn't want to enter the lotto drawing. Which I guess I paid for 10 clubs specifically for tickets to when they went on sale.
Okay.
That was my reason for joining 10 club was so I could get tickets. So it worked, but I also didn't want to, like, if I could have gotten a comp ticket for both shows and I could have gotten a word in advance, you know, 6 months in advance of the show,
right?
You know, requesting tickets early.
See, I'm struggling with that right now, like, because I know it's out there. I know they're already getting bombarded.
Right. I mean,
do I do it now?
I wouldn't. I would probably wait maybe a month or couple weeks.
I think the thing is
when you email about tickets, when you ask, they're going to be on the road. So
right.
So there's no telling if like what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'll be there though. Don't worry.
Right.
Don't worry.
That's true. That's
I can always sell you my ticket if you can't get in for free.
If we get desperate.
If I get a comp ticket.
But I've almost every show that I've not paid to get into, I always find myself in a position where like a week or two out, I'm like, okay, I can go. Let me see if I can do this. And somehow they sneak me in some way. So I'll get in one way or another.
Yeah, I
might have to do some stuff for a guy in the parking lot, but
well, I mean, it's for Pearl Jam tickets. Yeah, Eruption fingers,
yeah, boner ears, yeah,
ear boners.
Sorry,
that's a boner that's, ear is totally different thing, man.
Right, that's
a different some dark stuff.
That's a different show.
But I wanted to talk real quick about the London, Ontario show.
Yes,
which was the warm up to Wrigley, and I saw the Wrigley set list, which leaked before the show came out. The day before, and Pearl Jam fans were up in arms. Oh my God, why would you share it? You know, it's like, well, nobody knew if it was legit or not. Ended up it was legit. Did you know they actually made setlist t-shirts? Like official setlist shirts.
That
they sold at the stadium.
Oh,
after the show. At Wrigley Field.
That's pretty cool.
Silk screen shirts, and you could buy limited edition Pearl Jam. They were white, and on the back it was the set list in Ed's handwriting. And then the front was like, it just said like Pearl Jam. It had a little diamond logo on it. It might have said like Wrigley 2013 or something.
Yeah, now I have the no code shirt that has a set list on the back. It's like a yellow notepad sheet of paper with silver duct tape. So
are you sure
like
you're not talking about the Alive shirt with the stick figure?
Yeah,
because that's the shirt that you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I have it's the no code shirt because it's got the no code logo on the front.
Oh, it has no code on it?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It's
a triangle with a circle in the middle.
It's a circle with a triangle in the middle. I think I'll give you a picture. We can put it up on the website so people know what I'm talking about. But on the back, it's literally like I've had people come up to me and like try and take it off because they think somebody like was a smartass and taped something to my back.
Right.
Because it looks like somebody duct taped.
No, I have the Alive shirt. I had that when I was a teenager. Might as well share the story now because I was thinking of Pearl Jam stories to talk about. So when I was a teenager, I went to Europe with a school group, and it was like there's a group of students from Seattle, a group of students from Pennsylvania, and a group of students from California. And the California girls, like, you know, amazing. Like I was totally like I became really good friends with these two California girls. And
I wish they all could be California girls.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I became friends with them. They both had boyfriends, and that didn't bother me any because I was a clueless, you know, teenager. But thinking that I would win their hearts.
Sure.
One of them and her name was Katie, and she was a tall, leggy brunette.
What was her last name?
I honestly don't remember her last name. But I gave her my black. She's a big Pearl Jam fan, and I gave her my black Alive shirt with the set list taped on the back. It's like, okay, you know, because I was just like, you know, you can have my Pearl Jam shirt. She needed something to sleep in because we were all in Europe and we had dirty laundry.
You wanted to have your stink on her.
You can. It's like, you can have my Pearl Jam shirt. And then she wanted to give it back to me. I was like, no, you keep it. Sort of a memento.
You keep it,
and I don't even think it fit her.
It was too
because
tight.
She was
Well, yes. Wow, you read my mind. You're reading 16-year-old Travis's mind.
I've been there.
But another great on the same trip, the group from Pennsylvania, I became pen pals. When you know what that is? Do people remember what pen pals are?
I remember pen pals.
When you used to have to write letters to people, not send emails.
I've got a few in prison.
Oh, I bet you do. you and your eruption fingers over there. And I became pen pals with a couple of the girls from Pennsylvania. And one of them I recently connected with over Facebook. She was a huge Pearl Jam fan. And we would write about Pearl Jam and music and stuff. And she just tagged me on Facebook a couple days ago that she had just watched PGA 20 for the first time. And she cried when they played Crown of Thorns. And I was like, oh, I haven't gotten back to her yet. But like she knows, like we've been in a little bit of touch, so she knows that I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan. She obviously seen my Facebook wall with like photos of me and Mike and me and Jeff and all the Pearl Jam crap I post on Facebook. So she's aware of my, I'm a bit bigger of a fan than she is.
Is she a listener?
No, she's not.
So we don't have to send a shout out?
No, we don't. But back to Ontario.
Yes.
The set list was ridiculous, and I would argue that the set list for Ontario was better than the 30-song set list for Ontario was better than the 40-song set list for Wrigley that didn't get played all the way through. I mean, it was just so the way. I mean, it almost seems like it had to have been calculated. The way, obviously, Eddie and I think Eddie writes the set lists, and he thinks about them before he writes them. And he had a lot of time to think about these set lists because the shows, you know, they were announced way long ago.
Right.
And the set list for Ontario started with Present Tense, which is just it's quickly becoming probably, if not. Probably one of my top five favorite Pearl Jam songs. And then, of course, just like in Wrigley, it goes into Release, which at Wrigley they started with, with Wrigley they started with Release and it went into Nothing Man. In Ontario, they started with Present Tense and went into Nothing Man. But they also, so it started with Present Tense. It ends the last song. It doesn't end with Yoel Ledbetter. It ends with Indifference. Which is so, like, these take the two songs. They're just, like, perfect bookends for a set. And if you look at the second set, the second encore, no, the first encore, starts with Last Exit, which, you know, good way to start. It's a good way to start. Like, the first full set ends with Porch, good way to end. First encore starts with Last Exit, and then it's eight songs total. The last song is Do the Evolution. So very, again, hard rocking songs, right? But the middle of that, your favorite, Last Kiss, Parachutes, Man of the Hour, Just Breathe, Daughter, and Unthought No, which are all very...
Are they just telling people to leave early?
Well, see, they tease them with Last Kiss, and they pick it up with Through the Evolution, which is like at the very end. And so it's just amazing how they... like. That set list had to have been such a ride. I haven't found a boot yet. I know they're out there. I just haven't bothered to download one. But that set list had to have been amazing.
So now I'm because it sounded like you were saying that they ended with a bunch of slow songs.
Well, the first encore was Last Exit,
uh-huh.
Last Kiss, Parachutes, Man of the Hour, Just Breathe, Daughter, Unthought Known, and then Do the Evolution. That was encore. So it was slow song sandwiched by Last Exit and Do the Evolution.
Right.
And then the second encore started with Smile, which, you know, we've discussed extensively, and ends with Indifference. And then there's Brain of Jay, Better Man, a song in which they retire, Alive, and Rockin' in the Free World. So no Yoel Ledbetter. Thankfully, no Jeremy.
How dare you?
They played some interesting, they played Sad, which I thought was interesting. They played I Got Id. Lucan in Hiding. Obviously, they did Black. Given to Fly. You know, it's really just a.
It's interesting to me that they leave Yoel Ledbetter off. I mean, that is the standard closer.
Like that's like closing time. It's over.
Yeah,
that's House Lights On. Mike plays Yoel Ledbetter. I think it's really interesting they haven't done that this two date summer tour they've gone on.
Yeah, well, but I mean.
I'm sure they'll bring it back. I mean, that's like
maybe they're saving it for Seattle.
Yeah, they'll only well, you, what's
really interesting is, speaking of Seattle, remember in PGA 20, they talk about the festival in Denmark, Roskilde.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they were playing alive when that happened,
mm-hmm.
or they were going to, and they retired alive for years.
There was,
and then they played it for the first time.
Was that where they had the guy that broke it down, that broke down like the years where they didn't play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, they didn't play alive. And I was like, you idiot. This is why they didn't play alive. Come on.
Yeah, he totally didn't connect.
And it's
dots.
On the DVD, and it totally just, it's just,
Yeah.
That bugs me. Like, and he like calls himself a doctor of Pearl Jam or something.
Right, but he didn't.
And I was like, dude, I don't know. That really bugs a lot of fans.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's with Alive, they like brought it back during that one performance. Like, I don't know how long it was, but like it was momentous when they played it.
Hmm.
There were these. I was at that show at the very top of Key Arena, in the 200 level or 300 level.
Right,
and
right, okay.
With my wife, and there were these teenagers in front of me, and they're like, "Play Alive, Play Alive, Play Alive!" The entire show, they wanted to hear was Live, and I just wanted to slap them like, "You idiots! They aren't going to play Alive. They stopped playing that song, and then they played it, and my jaw dropped,
and everybody cried. It
yes,
just tears. We are very near the end of what's turning into a longer sixth episode for us. One thing I was following kind of accidentally, the Ontario show on Twitter, they were tweeting the set list or the songs as they played them. And, we talked, I think it was last week, about the fan or the casual listener or whatever that mentioned something about, not wanting to listen to the show because they're not going to listen to somebody who doesn't even know 90% of the songs or whatever. And I was kind of blown away as the tweets were coming in. I was like, oh, okay. And I could imagine. I was like, oh, I know that song. Oh, I know that. Like, it's just because I don't think of them by their title. It's more just they come on. I'm like, oh, it's Better Man or whatever it is. But I felt a little bit of pride because like I do know some songs.
Well, and you
I do know them.
And I posted on your Facebook wall that the first time they played Mind Your Manners. And you were like, yeah, I already heard it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. You are seeking out Pearl Jam YouTube videos on your own.
It popped up on Twitter and I was like, well, I got a couple minutes. Let's fire this thing up. And it was. I mean, it looked pretty great. I mean, it definitely seemed like the first time they were playing it, but it was good.
Well, and that's why it's great we're going to see him at the end of the tour. So
yeah.
They'll
be exhausted.
We're either going to get an exhausted shit show, right. or we're going to get a show where they play like 57 songs.
Right. I'll take that. But I wanted to talk about that too. We're running out of time. But the 2:15 wrap-up at Wrigley, I love this band. I go to all their shows when they're in town and all that. But no matter how much I love them or any other band, there's almost always at every concert a point for me where I'm like, enough already. I'm tired. I want to go home. If I was at Wrigley, even if I was at Wrigley at 1 o'clock in the morning, I would be standing there going, enough is enough. I'm tired. Let's go home.
Well, see, and at about 1 o'clock is when they would have picked things back up. Maybe not 1 o'clock, maybe like 12:30.
Okay.
Ish. So you would have been leaving at like the 12th song of the show.
Well, maybe they would have energized me a little bit.
Yeah.
I think just because it would have been such an ordeal.
I think that's the thing with that we don't get, and I think Amber kind of mentioned it, or like the feeling, the electricity of being there.
Yeah.
Like there's that adrenaline you have when you're in the moment. Like you want it to keep going. You want to be there. When you're at a really good show,
yeah.
like nothing bothers you. Like when I saw McCartney on Friday night, people were singing Beatles songs left and right. Everybody was taking selfies. It was annoying as hell. But I didn't mind because I was just dialed in with Paul McCartney. I had so
okay.
much fun. It was the most fun I ever had at a show. It was ridiculously great. And I can't tell people not to sing Beatles songs.
No.
I mean, that's got to be a law, right? They're Beatles songs.
Right.
I could go to jail for telling somebody to stop singing a Beatles song. When you're in the moment, I think you're not even like looking at your watch. You're like, oh, all of a sudden it's 2:15. You know, waiting. You're waiting for Yellow Ledbetter is what you're doing.
Right.
You're not looking at your watch. You're like, oh man, this is gonna be great. Yellow Ledbetter is gonna be the next song, and then it's something else, and you're like, oh man, I love this song, and then
right.
you forget about Yellow Ledbetter for two or three songs, and you're like, oh, I bet they're gonna slide it in here, and they don't, and then they go to an encore break, and then they come back, and then you know,
yeah,
I'm sure there's somebody at Wrigley right now still waiting for Yellow Ledbetter.
Right. play it. Their shows, several shows I've been to, like, not several of theirs, but just in general, I feel like I often get to a point where I've had enough and I'm tired and I want to go home, and that's why I'm my expectations are always high, because I want to get to the end and go, that's it, come on, more.
That's like, how you feel about this podcast right now.
Of course.
This specific episode. You want to get to the end and want to go home.
I'm tired. I'm old and I'm tired.
Yeah.
all right. Well, we should go. What do you want to play? What do you want to go out with?
You wanted to play Evacuation just for the hell of it?
Yeah, I'll look it up. Hang on.
I bet it's a song you don't know. You probably know it when you hear it, but it's not one of those.
Oh no, I know this one.
It's a binaural song, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I was one of the few that liked binaural. Evacuation, because we're going to evacuate. Thank you for listening to episode
6
of Evil Little Goats. You can find it on the GorillaCandy website. GorillaCandy.com. And that guy is Travis, and I'm Jeremy. And what am I missing? We get the website where you can contact us. We have email.
Oh, yeah, if you want to reach out to us, you know, especially if we got anything wrong, we like getting corrected.
Yeah.
And I'm not shitting you. I'm being dead-face serious. We love hearing from listeners. EvilLittleGoatsCast@gmail.com. Or drop a comment on the post where this appears at Gorilla Candy.
There you go. I guess that's it. We'll be back next week or so.
Or so.
At GorillaCandy.com. This has been the Evil Little Goats podcast. We'll see you soon. Now get out of here.